that John the Baptist disciples had in their minds. John was disillusioned, remember? John in prison, when he's at the whim of an ungodly person, simply because John told the truth, which is his job. He's awaiting the chopping block. And so put yourself in John's place. You're in prison. You laid your life down, baby. And now all of a sudden they're about ready to kill you. And here's, you get rumors of Jesus having parties with unbelievers. Even going into the house of an unbeliever, which no holy man in Israel would dream of doing in that day. And John starts to wonder, was I right? Is this the messenger, you know, what the messenger was sent to announce? Is this Messiah? Is he even a holy man? Remember, John sent his disciples to talk to Jesus and say, are you really the guy, or are we supposed to look for somebody else? What brought up that disillusionment? I was expecting something different. John was saying, I was expecting somebody more like me. Oh, I'm tempted to go a lot of places there too. It's not wrong for us to like something that we feel comfortable with. That's not the wrong thing. But when God gets in the mix and we can't recognize what God's doing because it's not our style, then who suffers from that? We suffer because of our inflexibility, which is what old and new wineskins is all about. A man-made system which is so inflexible that even God himself, when he chooses to do something, it can't contain it. And any human-made system can be guilty of that, any of them. So John was disillusioned at one point, and Jesus just quoted from the Old Testament scriptures and said, just go back and tell John that you see this happening. He'll recognize the description. Yeah, the style's different. You didn't waste your time, John. You were right. The voice, you did hear the voice. You did see the dove. You do know who I am. Don't let the style differences throw you. And remember, he said that amazingly innocuous thing where he said, happy or blessed is the man who is not stumbled because of me. I think that's still true. There are lots of church people today that Jesus could do something, and if it doesn't fit into their personal tradition, they either outright oppose it, or they're critical of it, or they ignore it altogether. And so the problem is not a new problem, which is why we're talking about it today. It's not a new problem, and it's a problem that's still happening. Why did John even have disciples at this time? Don't know. Be real careful what jersey you're wearing. Is it the jersey that the uniform of the kingdom of God or your particular brand? Because the thing that I've noticed about the legalism of the Pharisees, eventually all legalism goes the same way. You not only separate yourselves from common people, you also separate yourselves from other religious people. And eventually, it just comes to a fine point where it's the we're the only ones doing it right mentality. And I believe that is a good portion of Satan's victory, which he's not technically supposed to be able to have. But all it takes to stop a work of God is for believers to be fighting against each other or isolating themselves from each other. And the Pharisees were prime examples of that. So that's my first rabbit trail turnout. Jesus answers their fasting question because fasting to them was about sorrow. How can you and your disciples be having such a great time when the world is going to hell in a handbasket? In a nutshell, that's what they're saying. It's a good question coming from one perspective. If it meant that they didn't care about eternal issues and they didn't care about repentance, it would have indeed been a horrible indictment. But can you say that about Jesus and his disciples? Did they not care about repentance? Did they not care about people coming to the kingdom of God? No, Jesus was as committed as you could get. You know, like the old sayings about the breakfast, ham and eggs breakfast. The chickens are involved, but the pigs are committed. Think about that for a minute. Jesus was as committed as you could possibly get to living a holy life. But there were aspects of his style, like I said, that just bothered these people. And Jesus said, look, they have a right to be rejoicing right now. There's going to come a time when I'm going to be jerked away. And there's going to be a lot more mourning then for a while than now. But now you can't tell these guys not to be happy. They're at the wedding. They were invited by the bridegroom. They're the bridegroom's friends. They have a right to be happy. The church I grew up in before I came to Calvary Chapel, which I'm so grateful for God rescuing me. If you were having a good time in your Christianity, you were doing it wrong. In fact, the very proof that you were really a godly person was how miserable you were. And that's sick. I still run into people like that all the time. I remember one guy coming up to me after one of my concerts and saying, young man, you're just entirely too familiar with God. And you need to get serious. And I thought, what does he mean? Wasn't the veil in the temple torn? Didn't God tear it? Didn't God invite me in? Doesn't he want us to be familiar with him? But see, in his mind, distance and sobriety were marks of holiness. And Jesus did not fit into that mold at all. Was he serious? Was he holy? Absolutely. Did he look serious and look holy to these people? Absolutely not. So who's wrong? Well, not him. So in all of Jesus' teaching on fasting, he said that you don't use it as a badge to show how spiritual you are. But he did not seem to take away the benefits of it. And when we get to one of those passages, we'll talk about it in more depth. Let's talk about the old wineskins thing and the new patch on an old garment. The new patch on the old garment. The new patch. God's grace is one way of looking. There's a lot of analogies. There's a lot of principles that fit this metaphor and this analogy. The old garment, the law. God's grace towards sinners, the new patch. If you've ever tried to sew, I had a pair of Levi's one time. In the old days, when Levi's were still made by Levi's, and not made in China or somewhere of inferior cloth, but don't let me get going there. I remember I found this patch that had a schooner on it, and I had a strategic tear, which was not appropriate for a man of God to be wearing, because it drew attention away from my godliness, I guess, or something. And somebody pointed this out to me, so I found a patch that I could sew onto this. And I discovered the brand new squeaky clean Tillamook cheese schooner patch that I sewed on my jeans the first time I washed them. Everything around the patch tore out. And now I had a more obvious, not appropriate for a godly person to wear hole in my jeans. You know what I love about Jesus' analogies? They make such perfect sense. The word pictures that he paints. and even the wording in the NIV says nobody, no person in their right mind would do this. And everybody's laughing and saying, yeah, I remember that, you know, when I did that to my Levites, pouring the new wine into old wineskins. And it was completely understood what he was saying. Was it received by the old wineskins and the old garments? Sad to say, not by most of them, it wasn't. Apparently a few seeds were planted because not all the Pharisees remained unbelievers. Some of them actually came to believe, but it was the system. It's not the people. Back in the days when I looked like a counterculture person, you know, beard, long hair, you know, stuff like that. Back in those days, many, many, many years ago, 45 years ago, I thought that anybody that didn't look like me was an old wineskin. And of course, I loved these kinds of verses. It just fit my anti-establishment views very, very well. But that's not what Jesus was saying. It's not the people that are the old wineskins. It's the system that has no flexibility. I think it's interesting that in both of these examples, the damage is worse than it was to begin with. Let's look at the new wine and the old wine. New wine is wine which is fermenting. And the danger of an old wineskin is that as it ages, it loses its elasticity. And you pour the new wine into it, which is in the process of fermenting, and apparently what Jesus said is you're going to ruin the wine and you're going to ruin the wineskin. It can't. It's inflexible. And it can't support that fermenting new wine. What you need is you need to get a flexible, brand new, squeaky clean off the goat wineskin if you're going to put new wine in it. Interesting picture. I want to talk about it for a minute. I was thinking about something that Michael said about when last time Pastor Chuck came to the Bible college. And he was teaching about the third generation in Israel, where a generation that didn't see the miracles, the nation that hadn't gotten led out of Egypt and across the wilderness and had the manna and every day. And that third generation was the generation that forgot God. It was the generation that had that sense of entitlement as this is our land. They forgot, just like God told Joshua they would do. God says, they're going to forget everything I've done for them. And they did. And what went along with that is God was farther and farther away, less a part of their life. And they became more and more open to foreign gods. And they were the generation that started worshiping idols. Am I representing that correctly, what he said? So here Chuck, the head of our non-denomination, I'm proud of him for this, but he stood up and he said, you need to find out what God wants to do and go out and do that and forget wearing this label. You weren't there when God started our movement. God's not done moving. So go out, find out what God wants to do. You have my blessing. You know the interesting thing of who Chuck got in trouble with for saying that? Was all of the guys that wanted it to be a denomination. You can't tell them to do that. They'll stop doing it our way. And I can almost hear Chuck say, but we don't have a way. The reason we do these things is because this is what God told us to do. All it takes for something to be an old wineskin is for any program or any structure religiously that we construct, which doesn't allow flexibility to what God wants to do. Now, I've heard teaching on this on two polar extreme opposites. One is the group of people, like I was in my 20s, that just says, hey, if it's old, it's bad. If it's new, it's good. That's not true. And of course, the polar extreme opposite of that. I don't know how to say that. I know I'm going to offend somebody. When has that ever stopped you, Bob? Bob, you're talking to yourself on a microphone. Well, I remember something Chuck said, and I'm glad that he lived it out over the 40 years or so that was my pastor. He said, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken." And I think that's, in a nutshell, that's a little grab handle saying that talks about what Jesus was saying. If I am flexible to what God wants to do, if it's God wanting to do it, if God wants to do the same thing 200 times in a row, that's his business. My business is to keep it real and not to get in the habit. I know people, I've got relatives, and you know who you are if you're listening to this. Group of people in their 20s who have an alternative church. That means no people who are not in their 20s. That means we're going to listen to our kind of music. And, you know, it's okay if other people can do whatever they want to do, but this is our little world. And I thought, you know, probably when I was in my 20s, I would have liked that, except that it's wrong. There are things that I will never know about God's kingdom if I only surround myself with people that are exactly like me. There are things about God I'll never know. When we were praying downstairs before, Gwen was saying, when I talked about old wineskin, she said, "Oh, I'm an old wineskin." And we all pounced on that. And we said, "Gwen, you are exactly the opposite of an old wineskin. You are the most not old wineskin I've ever met." If anybody, and my grandmother was this way until when 98 years old, she passed away. Every single day of her life was a fresh day walking with Jesus. Is that normal in church? No, I think it's quite exceptional, actually. It's supposed to be normal. Are church people famous for their flexibility? No, sad to say, we're not. So what's the solution? Every new program that comes down the pike, we jettison everything that we've done and we jump on that new program. No, that's not the solution at all. And that's not what Jesus was talking about. What Jesus came to do was not a new program. It was all there in Scripture. This is what I find so ironic, even about the Sabbath thing, if I ever get there today. It was all there from the beginning. But the way people are, we take something that God starts, and by the time we get our mitts on it, a few years down the road, it doesn't resemble anything to what God started out to be. But we'll fight to the death to defend it because it's our tradition. And that's the thing that Jesus was addressing here. I'm glad it came out of his mouth. He said, and I wonder who he was speaking to. I wonder if he was saying it to, well, obviously to the people that came and asked him the question, but was he saying it for the benefit of all those that hated him and those that followed him? To what they were saying is, do not try to put something that God is doing fresh and new. Don't try to put it into an old system. It's going to ruin the new wine, and it's going to ruin the old system. You need something that's more flexible. It's funny. Out in the West Coast, when I lived out there many years ago, I was considered very conservative. Out here, I'm considered very, I don't know what, non-traditional. If you read the book of Acts, I was going to read it, chapter 2, the very end of the chapter, and talked about the model original church, at least within the circle of the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. I would think you would look at what we do here and say we are extremely traditional if you use that as the model. if you use the last 50 years of Baptist tradition or the last 150 years of Anglican tradition or the last 200 years of Presbyterian tradition, not so much. But when I look at the model in Scripture, what church is supposed to be, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, getting the Holy Spirit for our guidance, sharing with one another, studying God's Word, worshiping God, praising God, within that model, there's a lot of room for variety in style. The second most common criticism of our church from the people, 100 or so people who've left. Believe it or not, my appearance was way down the list. There were, you know, music was number two. One guy that left said that our music was boring and monotonous. And he'd been here for 5 years. And I wanted to say, why didn't you leave 4.5 years ago? Why did you sit through 5 years worth of boring and monotonous music? And I thought, it's not about the music. If it was about the music, Bob and Marion and I would be listening to Celtic music or bluegrass. It's about something else completely. And he didn't get it. Another one, but I was the number two criticism was, it doesn't feel like church. And I thought, well, tell me what you think church should feel like, and I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you where they do that. My understanding, at least of the scriptural model, is there's a lot of stuff we don't do here. I don't think it's wrong stuff. It's just not as important as the stuff that we're majoring in, to my way of thinking. And I, again, once again, I'm using this spiritual, the scriptural model. Let's look at the word new before I talk about this anymore. Look at the word new, at least two of the Greek words that appear here. The ones that talk about the new wine in the old wineskins, that needs a new wineskin. Two different words. Neos, N-E-O-S, is one of the words which means new in point of time. It's the word that's translated young for a human. New in point of time, fresh out of the oven, so to speak. That's what's talking about new wine. The word that's used to describe the new wineskin that the new wine needs is a different Greek word. It's the word kainos, K-A-I-N-O-S, which mostly means new in quality, which makes sense with a new wineskin. Yeah, it may be new. Depends on how old of a goat it came off of. It could be new in point of time as well. But it has that fresh quality. I was thinking the other day about one of my favorite series of books, the Mitford series that Jan Karen wrote. I love that series. Something about an old preacher that is befuddled and loves Jesus and loves people that really appeals to me for some reason, lives by himself. And he was an Episcopal priest. And the first thing I thought when I read this, I thought, this is not realistic. I don't know any Episcopalians like this. And I was talking with somebody who's from the South, and they said, well, you haven't been to the South. In fact, to be fair, I hadn't been hardly anywhere. And I only knew a few Episcopalians. And when I lived on Cape Cod, I met one who, until I knew he was a priest, until I knew that he was a priest, I just thought he was a guy just like me that was crazy in love with Jesus. And you know why? Because he was a guy like me that was just crazy in love with Jesus.